Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak library, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP, the Bengals Beat podcast, presented by 50 West Brewing Company. Paul Daner Jr., Jim Ozarski, your Bengals beat writer, Cincinnati.com, Cincinnati Inquirer, are happy to be with you. It's good. You know, around this building, there's a lot of people that are fairly happy these days.
Yeah. You know, it's technically a streak now.
It's technically a two in a row. That's a streak.
It is a streak.
That is a streak.
And as we heard all in the locker room in Cleveland, you can't win two till you win one. And now they've won two. I'm sure they all know what comes after two, and that's the goal. But they are feeling good about it, though.
I'd be willing to say they all know what comes after two.
Yeah.
But there's a few that would think about it. the thing is, it's so different. The life in the NFL is wild, and I think it's kind of where Mike Brown and this team's philosophy always comes into play, the pragmatic, calm, patient method. They really have a very good understanding of how long a season is.
Yeah.
And the highs and lows. You never expect to start out with lows like that, and no one
right.
expected this first 5 weeks to go like they did. But it's interesting when you go from so low to back even to the middle,
yeah.
the change in demeanor from the players, from the coaches, and a sense of relief. Didn't you feel like the Bengals win 20-16 against the Bills, and they're 2-3, and the Steelers are 3-2 in first place right there? You play them in a couple of weeks, chance they could be in first place. Didn't you feel the sense almost of relief of basically surviving the initial screw-up of this season and not letting it kill them? Because it was close. It could have.
Yeah, and I think, to me, Paul, it was, you know, it was the team doing what Marvin Lewis said they were going to have to do after that Browns game, where he said, look, we're not really going to have too many more. I'm sure he probably meant we might only have one more of mm-hmm. these games where we win by this many points.
Yeah.
And he said that, leading above, he's like, they're all going to be close. We're going to have to figure out how to do that, how to win it when it's close and not have, you know, the defensive screw-up of the PI on third down, the long breakdown of a touchdown, the snowballs of turnovers that lead to 7 points. And here's the funny thing, Paul. This reminded me a lot of week one in so many ways, yet all of those things I just rattled off did not happen. Mm-hmm. They could have. They did 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they finished. So you're right. I think you're right. It was that sort of patience personified in a way, but that's that relief, I think, comes from Marvin seeing his guys actually come of age a little bit.
Yeah, so much of this fell on the defense. I mean, holding Buffalo to field goals, when they were put into tough spots or pushing them out of field goal range in other spots after those turnovers, and then not really allowing the big play. I mean, the biggest play of the game was one of the biggest plays of the game. One was called back. The other one was a punt return.
Yeah.
And then you had Brandon Tate's touchdown. The defense made up for the what ended up being three turnovers that A.J. Green took the blame on all three.
Yeah.
You can maybe give a half to Dalton. Probably the first one, I think, sailed a little high. A.J. got his hands on it. You're not used to seeing him even not pull those down.
Right.
But the other two were on Green. And, you know, you're not used to seeing that. And that's kind of where I want to start. We got a lot we're going to get to. I want to bring you – we have some stuff from Mike Johnson later. Bill Lazor, we had a good conversation with him. We're going to talk to him about a number of different offensive issues. You tried to talk to Geno. We have audio of how that went. I'm pretty sure you all know that won't be long. we'll have our Jolly Plumbing player of the week. We'll be debating those three. So all that stuff I want to get to. But I want to get to – this defense has really, I think, kind of become – the front, you call them a front four, but they're really a front nine.
Right.
Right? I mean, nine defensive linemen rotated through and all played at least 10 snaps. Eight of them played at least 26%. I mean, all the way back, those reserves are playing key roles. Yeah. Jordan Willis, Chris Smith, obviously Carl Lawson, we've talked plenty about, you know, and Andrew Billings getting some snaps. All of those guys getting a lot of run in there, and it's created this thing that offenses are just really having a tough time with, and a reason why this team now has, pick your category, arguably the best defense in football, depending on what you're looking at. They're tied for second in points scored, points allowed.
Right.
You know, they're first in yards allowed per play, second in yards per game. 56% of the drive where drive starts, they force a punt.
Yeah.
Nobody else is better than 50% in the league. They've been now, and you can point to the competition and all that, but I mean, they have developed an identity of being able to carry this team and what you can see as the hammer of the Bengals. And then really the kicker on that is how they finished.
Right.
You mentioned that. I mean, the way they beat the Bills in getting the interception, getting the sacks, getting the stops when they needed to, and the offense on the other side, getting the long drive, continuing that, kicking the field goal. It felt like a lot of games you saw during 5 years of playoff runs.
Yeah.
That was what those teams looked like and how they were built. And a young team like this, when you're playing that many young guys, there was a point out there where it was Glasgow, Lawson, Willis, Nick Vigil, William Jackson, not just playing some, Clayton Federal, not just playing some, all out there at the exact same time,
right,
and the defense still rolling. When you have those many guys that are all figuring out in this league, and a lot of those guys mentioned, all of those guys I mentioned came here since last year, have never really experienced how this team won games and how to finish games.
Right.
You got to learn that, and it's got to be taught, and it's got to be experienced, and I feel like they took a step in that direction against Buffalo, and that was the biggest difference between this team now and what this team has been the last, 18 games.
Yeah, along those lines, and to help that along, you mentioned Michael Johnson, and he was great talking about this. We'll hear from him here shortly, but you need – so to go with all that, to go with Marvin's young roster, they have to learn how to do these things, right? Well – then you need your highest paid players who have experienced it to actually show up and make a play. Fontez Burfict did that on Sunday. A.J. Green, for as bad as it went, for a quarter and 14 minutes and 50 seconds of another, showed up big and made a catch to get the team back down to go with the go-ahead touchdown. You know what I mean? Geno Atkins has been phenomenal. Michael Johnson himself, a guy who we debated – you know, his role on this team all through camp has been revitalized with a new role being selfless as a former high-paid D-end. Now he's an interior guy. His younger players are taking snaps on the outside. That's part of it, too. You know, the guy, it's almost like the young guys needed to learn it, but also push the old guys to remember what it was like.
Right. And the old guys have to, and it's a matter of the old guys showing the younger guys, this is how it's done. This is how it looks. When you make a mistake, it's all about making up for it
right.
in the next play and fighting it to the end. That's been a centerpiece of Marvin Lewis's teams. You can say whatever you want to about his coaching style, things you agree with. You know, he's very much a head down, focus on the next
right.
play, keep grinding, use your shovels, you need your rocks, you need
right.
your hard hats.
Your punch card for your job
card.
That you got to do.
Yeah, right? I mean, you it's, know. Yeah. We've heard them all over the years. You need your fuel bucket.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Your gas tank
your
this
gas,
year.
Yeah, you got the gas. So, I mean, you know, that's the staple, and I think Marvin felt like they're learning that a little bit. I thought it was interesting. You know, there's certain, obviously, areas we don't have access to and that Bengals.com does as the team website. They always have the camera, and they get Marvin and his post-game victory speech or whatever speech is after a game. And about midway through this last one, you could hear him. He started to get emotional, and I was a little surprised by that, and I think you could sense how much this meant to him. This has been a trying 5 weeks. He's got a young group. He's trying to teach all these things we just talked about, too. And I think this is me speaking my opinion on what I saw. I feel like he recognized what that win was. It was his guys learning how he likes his
yeah.
teams to play. And I think that brought that I think he's seeing the light a little bit, and maybe it was tears of relief, like we said earlier,
yeah.
but that was big. We mentioned Michael Johnson a couple times, so I want to bring him in. So I talked to him after the game, and just sort of was an interesting connection that we sort of discussed that people that have been around this group of Bengals for a little while might remember pretty clearly, and that was the 2012 season. And I thought it was interesting the comments that Michael had to say about that. So anyway, here's Michael Johnson after the Bengals win over the Bills on Sunday.
The last few years, early in your career, you guys finished. It was like what you guys' stamp was finishing games. You know, the one drive that the other team would have to try to get the game winner, you guys would stamp it out. The last year, it hadn't happened as much. Did it feel like a big step for you guys today to put it away the way you guys did defensively and offensively, really, with the drive for the field goal?
Yeah, we did a great job team-wise. Doing that, and you know, it felt good. And like I said, we had an opportunity to do that against Green Bay, but didn't. So that's gonna stick with us the rest of the year. So we learned from that, and you know, they were able to go out there and get a needed stop. The offense was able to run the clock, get some needed first downs. You know, that's a big field goal they got at the end. And it was all around great effort by the team. Just, you know, so we work together well today. We're going to try to keep it moving.
Does that feel like a step for you guys as a team? Being a young team that has to kind of learn how to do that,
each
right?
Each week, we've grown.
Yeah.
You know, you can see it, you can feel it. I'm excited. I know we have a very talented team, so I'm excited to see just how good we can be.
Yeah.
And I think it's even more. We have even more to take to give. So we're going to keep on working and keep improving and, you know, see where it goes.
With the young guys rotating in, does this kind of remind you of when you were Fisher Price?
Yeah, it does. As they feel, I was telling somebody, I felt like this season was going to be eerily similar to 2012.
Yeah.
I think we have the ability to be even better, but we got to go do it. So we're going to take it 1 week at a time.
In that year, you guys had to learn how to finish games and do stuff too, right?
Yeah,
that kind of
yeah.
Same
we took our lumps early in the season that year, just like we did this year, and you know, it looks like we're learning from it and just being better from all that going forward.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I thought the 2012 comparison was interesting. I mean, that team really struggled early in the
yeah.
season, and they were still sort of building off of that 11 draft. It was the second year of a lot of those guys, and you can say the same thing here.
Yeah.
The difference being Andy Dalton and A.J. Green
right.
are much more experienced, and those are your key players. But, you know, as far as the defense goes – you know, Fisher Price was the thing that was Carlos Dunlap, and that was Michael Johnson and Geno Atkins having their own special package that they got to come in for
right.
and go play, and it ended up becoming very expensive Fisher
right.
Price toys as they got older. But Michael Johnson saying, this feels like that. Watching all these young guys with so much potential come in and mix with us and create this thing, and it feels like they can go on a special run with that.
Yeah, and I think a thread there is we're talking about the defense.
Yeah.
And that was the last time, 12, 13, where this team could hang its hat on, that's who we are.
Defense carries us.
Right? Now we'll get into postseason stuff. I mean, whatever. But for 16 games, those 2 years for Zim and that group was really good. And while Bill Lazor's group is figuring it out, at least with the quarterback and the passing game to an extent, no one is ready to say this tackle thing is working. No one's really ready to say the right guard thing is working. We know everyone says the run game isn't working. So I think, you know, the thing that we talked about all last year, Paul, this defense having to be dominant from the beginning and carry this team while the offense figured it out, and it didn't happen for 9 weeks. It's happened from week one to a point, you know, where we were wondering, like, can they get there? Like, we saw in the seeds of it week one, two, three. And then, yeah, now here we are. They win this sort of tough, close game. As you said, they close it out with William Jackson III making a bad PI, but coming back, not making the same mistake he did a week ago in the end zone or close. Carl Lawson making a bad, you know, unnecessary roughness, coming right back and getting a key sack. You know, I think, and maybe, you know, Marvin always hates to say, he's like, you know, when people are like, oh, you're a defensive guy. I mean, he's like, I've been a head coach for 15 years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think there is still a part of that in him, though, to know, as you said, okay, that group, okay, that's us.
Yeah.
And let's figure out the rest of it. Andy and AJ are pretty good, and Joe Mixon to an extent, are a good way to start. And we can maybe get to 21, 22 points a game, and that might be all we need to win.
Right. Because of what the defense, and he's won a Super Bowl that way.
Yeah.
So there's a reason why that's a philosophy, and why they invest so much in corners and believe so much in just rushing four.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and I think they have that now, and that's a part of an exciting area for Paul Gunther. Real quick, let's pick our Jolly Plumbing Player of the Week, Jack of All Trades Player of the Game. This goes out to a guy who put in an honest, hard day of work, doesn't ask for any accolades. So here's our three choices this week: Darquez Dennard, Tyler Kroft, Brandon LaFell. Our three choices for our Jolly Plumbing Jack of All Trades Player of the Game. What do you think? Who was sort of honest, hard day's work and didn't get enough accolades out of Sunday's game?
You know, I'm gonna go with Joe, with Brandon LaFell, just because. You know, AJ Green was for all the ups and downs of his day was targeted a bunch, sort of disproportionately so. But then in the fourth quarter, he was only targeted twice, and then there's 11, made a couple catches, and then down, oddly enough, became sort of like the go-to running back down the stretch with that little shovel pass right in the middle of everything with a knee injury. He was on the report for all week, so it wasn't sexy by any means. But it was one of those things where clearly, you know, we know he has Andy Dalton's trust, and in crunch time, we saw 11 out there.
Yeah, you know, we talked so much, and that's a topic I want to get into off of this, about not really having anybody else besides AJ Green. But when they needed it on that last drive, it was everybody else. It was Tyler Kroft. It was Brandon LaFell. So I would be with you on LaFell, but I want to give a little – I would call it a lifetime achievement award, but it's not. It's a 5-game achievement award.
Yeah.
To Darquez Dennard.
That's like a lifetime for him, though.
Yeah, it is. It is a lifetime of snaps.
Yeah.
He may have more snaps in the last 5 games than he had maybe his entire career.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's just been stuck, and it's finally given a chance to go learn on the job and go take whatever lumps are out there and go play and have a position. And he's finally learned the nickel, which has helped him a little bit. And then this past weekend, put out there on the edge the whole game. He's done nothing but live up to first-round hype. Now, it took 4 years, but he's – you haven't heard from him.
Yeah, after that kind of busted play on that blitz in week one,
right?
We're talking about he fits in that group. Now, granted, he's 3 years in, but he fit in that group of like guys who just didn't have experience, were going to make mistakes and had to learn. That's a huge error. I mean, I him or George, whatever, in week one. And then I think he was picked on a little bit in week two to an extent, but you haven't really, I mean.
He had the dropped interception.
Yeah.
That was the one big mistake. Yeah. But outside of that, I mean,
he's been all right.
He's been super solid and then asked to go move outside. He was even more super solid. And there was almost a little reminder of how good he's been in the slot when you saw Josh Shaw get beat by Brandon Tate for the touchdown. That's something that you haven't seen happen against Darquez. And he's tackled really well. He's just played really well. And I feel like not enough people have really talked about that. So if we're talking, you know, putting in honest hard day work, he's been doing it all year. He really is. He's definitely a don't ask for accolades guy. So you can go to the Jolly Plumbing.
Go
vote. We'll have that tweeted out so you can go follow the link and vote yourself on Jolly Plumbing's website and check it out. So Jolly Plumbing, it's the honest choice for all your plumbing needs. So make sure you go check that out. Let's talk about this offense. So sort of talk to Bill Lazor a little bit about this, and there is nothing wrong with giving the ball to AJ Green. Do it. Always. It's a good plan. It's where everything should start. And it probably is where it should end.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. But at what point is there too much AJ Green and not enough anybody else? And, you know, I don't necessarily think that they're at that point yet, but for this team's offense to ascend, and when Andy Dalton has been at his best, you need more guys that are stepping up and being weapons. I think you need more drives that look like the last drive did on Sunday, right?
Yeah, and this brings us back to last year, Paul, and why they picked John Ross number 9. Because what was the issue? You know, it was who's open. Line can't protect, so they got to scheme around it. What does that mean? Andy Dalton's got to get the ball out in 2.2 seconds or whatever it is. That's fine. AJ Green's open in that amount of time. Tyler Eifert's open in that amount of time. Last year, I mean, Tyler Boyd kind of figured it out in some ways, but he was inactive once this year. Marvin Lewis not happy with his practice habits, and now he's injured. He'll be out for a bit. Brandon LaFell, for what we like that he does, he's not a guy who's open in 2.1 seconds. You know, Tyler Croft, CJ Uzama need a little time to get into a route into some space. And we saw Uzama had a big catch against Buffalo. So that's where the John Ross thing is. We're back to, you know.
One step and you're open.
Right, and he can do that. I mean, that's why Giovanni Bernard, in the press box, we kind of take you upstairs a little bit, Ballard keeps saying, now's a good time to get the ball to 25. And sure enough, there'd be a dump there, and all of a sudden, you know, because Gio's getting 8 yards a carry. It's like, you know, those guys. You only have a few. That's why you took one at number 9.
Yeah.
And that was maybe led into Marvin Lewis's frustration with that heading into the bye, Paul, where he was just like, look, forget playing. That guy needs a practice.
Yeah.
Let alone play. But we clearly, he knows if this is the way the Bill Lazor thing's going to go, if this is the way this line thing's going to go, you need other people outside of AJ Green, and John Ross has to be one of them.
Yeah. Because he's made for the quick passing game, because he's a first step quick, you know, you're right in front of guys. I mean, that's what it is, but you know, you're right. And you can go back to the BUP2 from last week if you want to know more about where Eifert and Ross stand health wise. We really dove into it there, and you know, Cliff's Notes version is don't hold your breath, but you know, at some point they're gonna get back, and yeah, you're right, there was some frustration from Marvin with that, of although he hates that word.
Oh yeah!
Pointed out.
I'm never frustrated.
He's never frustrated. So don't you tell me that I'm frustrated.
Right.
Basically.
He moves on.
Moves on. He moves on and goes on. Yeah. Then went on to say things that sounded like a frustrated man.
Exactly.
So we'll take it however it goes. But anyway, I think that's where this offense is at. They you know, I think they found ways to work around the bad O-line. They found some stability in the Andre Smith showing up and rotating in. And each week it's sort of different. It seems like a different guy is graded higher, higher out of the three tackles each week. And Fisher Wood got the fewest snaps this week, whereas he had the most snaps the previous week.
Yeah.
I think it's a week-to-week thing. They sort of judge and go by a flow. I do think Andre has given them some stability a little bit, and Andy a little bit of confidence out there. The running game is still not great. It's still pretty ineffective, but you still saw what Joe Mixon can bring when you give him a shot. You know, the touchdown run is a prime example of that. A couple other making something out of nothings are an example out of that. But the next step is another primary weapon emerging, whether that's finding a way for it to be Mixon, whether it's getting John Ross or Tyler Eifert back healthy. And that's you're right. That's where we've sat with this offense for a while. And I don't – this team is not – am I wrong in say if I say this team will not cannot win the North or make the playoffs if another primary weapon on offense doesn't emerge? Am I wrong in that? Do you think they or can the defense
carry?
Here's
the thing. Yes, if you're talking about a receiver specifically, I say no, because if 25 is used the way he's potentially going to be used like these last 3 weeks, Geo's averaging it's something ridiculous since the Green Bay game. It's like 8 yards a touch.
But his touches have been so infrequent.
Right. So, and I guess that matters. It's like when, right? Like 3rd and 6 and he gets 19 yards and all of a sudden you're able to get a field goal or a touchdown, and because then your other three passes went to AJ Green. You know what I mean? You're right. I mean, you do need, at some point they're going to run into some defenses that can scheme that up, and Ryan Shazier, that's coming up in 2 weeks. He's not a good fit for Geo or many running backs. And
I'm sure Geo doesn't want to talk about Ryan Shazier
on any
either.
Team and whatever. So no, you're right. But here's the thing, Paul. Who is that? Well, first of all, Tyler Boyd's hurt. Knee injury, he's gonna be out for a little while. So this is the same group as a year ago when no one.
It's Mixon or Bernard or Eifert.
Let's forget about Eifert for a while, and let's talk about a running game that can't do anything.
Yeah.
So maybe it's your running backs being used in the short passing game or some of this weird shovel stuff. If you're watching Monday Night Football and you see some kind of trickeration with some weird stuff.
That was a nice play.
It was. The Bengals have run a little triple option looks the last couple weeks.
If you're going to triple option, things have gone awry.
They have gone awry.
Yeah.
So they're trying to fix it. You know what, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, to answer your question about like a guy emerging, who is it? I mean,
I would think they've got to find a way to spring Mixon more often or involve Bernard. It's got to be one of the backs.
Right.
Just because they're just too ineffective right now. You don't really have to account for them because you're just blowing the line up enough.
Right.
You know, Bill Lazor was talking. He said, you know, I don't want it to sound like we're setting the bar low, because we're not. But I will say there was some encouragement that there were fewer negative plays this week.
Fewer five-yard losses.
I mean, that's where it's at right now. Is, you know, they don't want that to be a thing that they discuss, but right now those are the steps that they're having to take. They're not getting destroyed for negative five, but there were still some.
Yeah.
You know, the reverse was one, and there were a couple mix and plays. Where guys are just getting blown up.
Yeah.
But that's also the number one defense in football, coming in by points. So, you know,
go figure, the offense scored 20 with 3 turnovers from your best player. One inside the opposing red zone, one inside, which if he would have held into that on I think it was a slant off his chest, catch and run. I mean, all of a sudden you're on the edge of field goal territory. You know what I mean? They still put 20 points and gave away two prime scoring opportunities.
And their quarterback had a bad ankle that him very gimpy out there. And I know Bengals fans don't want to hear this, and people are going to get mad. AJ McCarron, guys, not going to like this. Andy Dalton's been pretty clearly the best quarterback in the North this year, and the numbers back that up.
Yeah.
And, would you rather have 5 INT Ben Roethlisberger right now, who's saying he might be washed up, you know, whatever that was, tongue-in-cheek or not? I mean,
here's the funny thing, Paul. We talked about this after week one. So you have off Terrell Suggs' face, 2 off the hands of AJ Green. There was another deflection. I mean, so he, and he's fixed that a little bit. There, yeah. there have been some throws the last couple weeks where it's been more accurate, where he's DNs have jumped and got their hands up, and he's been better at that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, week one, that was, I mean, quarterback takes some blame for sure. He threw the ball.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're right, though. There's a difference between kind of like firing one. And he had a couple, I think there's one of those in the Baltimore game. Wasn't that kind of?
Yeah.
Oh, the one in the end zone.
One in the end zone.
Where you're kind of like, what is
where,
that?
Where it was just a really but, terrible decision.
You know what I mean? So you're yeah. right, though. Like, after, it's hard to come back statistically from that kind of game. But
his numbers statistically are kind of right back where they have been on yeah. his career averages already, you know, just three games later. Bill Lazor was pretty good on some of this stuff. So I do want to bring in a little bit of him talking about a couple different topics, the offensive line and some of the play there. So. Anyway, here's a little bit of Bill Lazor, kind of his comments on a few of the topics that we were just touching on.
Last time we talked with you, it was after Green Bay.
Yeah.
So it was the first we saw Andre, and you're like, well, and at the time Marvin says, well, it's heat, and we'll evaluate going forward.
I think it was the rain. I think
so. So now here we are, 3 weeks in.
You got to be careful.
I mean, so whatever.
Guys get waterlogged.
He's got more weight to base on that wet field to anchor. Yeah.
So whether it's the raw nice number. Whether it's the raw number of, like, QB hits or sacks, or if yeah. you're into PFF and they look at how they measure things. I mean, like, the tackle play has gotten better in these last 3 weeks. So how have you kind of, as it's a new thing, how have you viewed the three of them in that rotation? I mean,
I think every week we've graded them a little differently when we come out at the end of the – it's not always been in the same order, and I just think we've got to be open-minded about doing what it takes to win. And if it's helping us play better and win, then we'll do it. You know,
you get three guys rotating and one guy starts to separate himself, does that guy get a job and then the other two fight for the other one? Is that another?
It sounds good, but I hadn't thought about that today. Yeah. I'm sure that could happen, David. We evaluate them constantly. Right. It probably makes it even of a greater importance to do constant evaluation because of how they're all playing.
Right.
But how important is it to stay with the run game, even if it's, you know, you're not getting the results you deep down want?
Stay with it.
Well, I mean, you had 20, other than the three Andy Neals, you had 24 runs yeah. on the day where the numbers belie the fact that you ran well. I mean, how
27,
important?
27, wasn't it?
Well, Andy Neal three
yeah.
times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
But is that still important to stick with it?
I think I think the last time we sat in here, we talked about being balanced and having the ability to do both. And I really feel like we will. I'm committed that we'll get the run game going better. And thought it was going to be yesterday. Really, I mean, it's a good defense. I had been in the AFC East in the past, so I've seen a lot of those front players many times. I've had some bad days because of them. So we knew that going in. At the same time, we thought we had some things that would run better than it did, really. And so today, we already, as a staff, we've looked at where the breakdowns were. And some of them maybe were tough situations to be in. Some of them we thought we would have been able to execute better. I mean, it's usually a mix. But I don't think you can stop. I just think in this league, when they know you're passing, it's really hard to protect a quarterback and to get open, because defensive coordinators have so many different schemes to rush the passer. And so I just think we're going to maintain to some level, maybe not 27 runs. I mean, there might be a week where we will only run it 20 times if that's what we need to do to win. But I think you got to maintain a certain level of run. Every team I've ever been on has. That's the only way to really be able to keep the defense off balance.
You got, because of injury and ineffectiveness of play, you have a rotation and mm-hmm. tackle interference. Injury at right guard, you know, moving out. So you have so many moving pieces going on up front. Is that any concern?
I can't let it hit even enter my mind.
Right.
I couldn't tell you on game day who's in on a particular play up front. If I let that get in the
right.
way of calling the best play for
too
that
much minutia, yeah.
absolute situation, it would be too much. I mean, right. sometimes we deal with who's in at back, because we do have certain things that guys are better at, and same thing at receiver. And we look at, as they're subbing DBs,
right.
you know, you're trying to see when you get the matchup at the DB. obviously I'm trying to figure out the blitz tendency and the coverage tendency, and I mean, there's just so many things. I can't worry about who's in that right guard or at right tackle. I can't. I don't.
Right.
I don't.
So does that all fall on Paul, who goes in?
Well, we talk about it between series. Yeah, at times at between we have a plan before the game, and then if something alters from the plan during the game, it'll come up between series. But when I'm calling a play, I mean, it's just, you just got to be focused on on what you're doing.
This may be blasphemy to talk about, but you've thrown a lot to AJ Green, and that's like a great plan, right?
This week we might just use him as a decoy,
right?
I'll get that happen.
It's crazy. It's crazy to say. I mean,
when I say this week, I mean bye week.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But I mean, does it ever reach a point where you say we've got to find ways to get more people involved to free up AJ almost a little bit more, or do you just something you not worry about?
In practice, there are times when we double him, just so that to make sure the ball goes the other way. And when he has the big plays that he has in the game, in theory and hopefully in practice, it's going to do a couple things. You mentioned get the ball to someone else in the pass game. It also should open up the run game. If a safety has to go to him, then that other safety's either in the box leaving everyone one-on-one or also helping on the other four receivers, and he should be able to run the ball better. I mean, it's just theory, but it should work.
Yeah. Are you okay when you look at a stat sheet and say, well, I don't care? You
know, I don't worry that much.
Stuff like that? Yeah. No. It's just
the best teams I've been on haven't worried about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say – I mean, actually, I did not look until – I didn't look at the number of targets until just now from yesterday. I didn't
– Yeah.
You know.
All right, so there's Bill Lazor. We've kind of touched on offense, touched on defense, and now I want to touch on a great time to eat and get a little drunk. So you know that's 50 West Brewing Company. Their next big event for you guys to go down and hit up is Saturday, November 4th. It's the Great Ohio Brewing Q. So they're doing a collaboration.
Collabos can be good.
Collaboration with Great Lakes, which – God bless Great Lakes for how tipsy they get me when we were going to Cleveland in December. They're doing a collaboration with them on food and on beer, and they're going to have it all out with, you know, it's just a huge event, just like they've done, a 50 Fest type of thing. Saturday, November 4th, tickets are available. Go to 50westbrew.com. You can pick those up there. It's a great time, so mark down on your calendar. Collaboration with Great Lakes. The Great Ohio Brew and Q is the next big event out at 50 West. And Optimistic Bobby will be there, and I don't know if his cats will be there, but his laser cats got into the stadium. They didn't have a security problem last week, which we were nervous about. Are the security going to let the laser cats into the stadium? And they did. They made it in. I don't think they made the scoreboard, though.
I didn't see them, though.
So pretty weak sauce on the scoreboard's part. Or Bobby, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't aggressive enough in putting his cats out there.
That's possible. It was raining.
It was.
You don't want a smelly cat.
Smelly cat. So make sure you check that out. Let's talk AFC North a little bit.
Do we have to?
We do, because it's a reason why there's still hope around
exactly.
here. So Steelers, we've been telling you, probably aren't as great as you think they are, and that was proven when the Jags. Just having to even mention them, it just gets me all.
The juggernaut 2017.
This is ridiculous. What's happening? I knew this was going to happen 2 years ago. I told you all that this was going to happen 2 years ago. That the Jags were going to be good. They were building the right way. All they had to do was stop having Blake Bortles throw so much, find a running game, and have that defense play defense. That's why Gus Bradley's fired.
So jaggy.
So I knew they were going to screw me. That's why I didn't want to make this bet. I knew the second that I went this way, they were going to go the other way. And now they're screwing me. It's totally happening. They are well on their way to overing 6.5. I can tell you that much. And they have destroyed the Steelers and the Ravens.
Yeah.
And that, so
but that says something a little bit about this
I think
division.
So.
I mean, look, there, three of the wins for the Bengals – the Ravens and the Steelers have come from the lowly, woeful Browns. You know, I think the Ravens beat the Steelers. Ravens beat the Bengals. So, I mean, all of almost all of the wins have yep. come against each other.
Yeah.
And look, I know, you know, Steeler Nation was thought, you know, their destruction of the Ravens a week ago was had them on track for the Super Bowl. Ravens Nation thinks whoever's playing for them, beating Oakland without David Carr and that bad defense, gets them on track. The reality is each one of these teams controls their own destiny because they all play each other still. You know, especially the Bengals with four games left. Especially yeah. two with Pittsburgh and then that last one in Baltimore. And at that point, we said it 2 weeks ago, I think you and I might be playing for the Ravens that week.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on there is beyond me. So the Steelers' offense looks rugged. Yeah. None of them like each other. And they just can't really do much. And Ben has been misfiring all year. They're really relying on their defense to carry them through at this point.
Yeah.
So you've got that happening. And so it always comes down to Bengals for the Steelers, for the Bengals. It
yeah.
does. It's just what it comes down to. So you've got those two games, I think, will probably go a long way to deciding how this season goes, just like you thought it would probably before the season started.
Yeah.
Look, if you're going to win this division, you're going to have to go win in Heinz Field. That has been the case forever.
Right. And the Bengals have, well, I know they did in 15. And look, the margin of error hasn't gotten any greater yet. So, you know, the 0-2 or the 0-3 hole forces this. You know, they don't get a chance to go into Heinz Field and lay a huge egg and be like, well, we're 2-4 and two games back of the division. I mean, you don't need that.
No.
So they it'll be interesting, Paul. I mean, I could see the Steelers going to Kansas City and winning because that seems like a Steelers thing to do. But I could also see them totally getting – I mean, Le'Veon Bell's complaining a week after Antonio Brown's complaining.
Mm-hmm.
James Harrison's a healthy scratch. I'm sure he's happy this week.
Yeah.
I mean
– I just – yeah, I don't – anybody that was saying, oh, these guys are going to run away with it, I don't think we're paying close enough attention.
That's why you listen to this podcast, Bengals fans.
We've been telling you. I'm telling you for a while. And Baltimore, we've been telling you really for a while that they're trash. And yeah. they, I mean, they have nobody on their line. They got, you talk about good luck. They got Oakland in the one game this year, they probably won't have Derek Carr.
Right.
They played the Browns. And they got the first game against the Bengals when they had the offensive coordinator mess going on.
Yeah.
Congratulations. And that's their wins.
Yeah.
How many more are they going to be able to get if they don't keep matching up well? With people without quarterbacks or quarterbacks who are messed in the head.
Right.
I mean, that's
at that point, that is
unsustainable. It's unsustainable.
At that point, their next game against whoever's coaching the Browns and whoever's playing quarterback for the Browns may still not be enough because there's no one to block.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, you know.
Yeah.
If John Harbaugh somehow goes 8-8, that might be coach of the year.
Yeah,
stuff
I don't.
There.
I don't know how. I just don't see it. There's just too much. They have no playmakers. Although they get Trubisky on Sunday.
Yeah, the Vikes. So, yeah, that NFC North's looking real good now.
So, I mean, there's
the Bengals have, if you look at the rest of their schedule, it's two Steelers games.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really, truly.
Well, Tennessee. Assuming Mariota comes back.
Well?
Once Mariota comes back, they're okay.
No. And your Jags?
And the Jags. That might be the next toughest tilt.
So basically, the Bengals have a clear path to 8-8 and win in the North, like I predicted.
Because the Lions have to come here.
Well, I predicted the 8-8.
We predicted 8-8. North. Yeah, but I mean, that might be enough.
Yeah. Yeah, Lions coming here on Christmas. Matt Stafford, $300 million man with no playoff wins.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's The bottom line is, and where we're kind of where we've clearly gone with this whole conversation is, it's as wide open as it's ever been, and that was how big that Buffalo win was.
Yeah,
because it wouldn't feel that way at a certain point you got to start winning games, you got to start learning how to win, you got to start stacking wins, and they've done that. So that's I think that's where they're at.
You know what else is wide open?
What is wide open?
Blue Apron's wide open, Paul.
It's wide open.
Wide open for you. You know why? Because in October, this October of 2017,
yeah,
it's fifth anniversary. It's bringing back its top 20 recipes from throughout the past 5 years. It's picked by you, Blue Apron users.
Happy anniversary, Blue Apron.
Yeah. Wide open. All of their favorite recipes are back on the menu for this limited time only. Giving people fresh recipes to explore as they learn to cook new food, new dish after new dish. And this is why many people don't realize this. You don't repeat those recipes in a calendar year, Paul.
Nope.
So you can go out, try Blue Apron's all-time customer favorites by going to blueapron.com/beat.
Yes.
We hook you up. So look, I don't know how to cook. I'm not good at cooking. I'm not good at math.
No.
So Blue Apron takes all of that out of the equation by giving you exactly perfectly measured ingredients, exactly what you need. I like it.
Yep.
Because I don't mess it up.
You don't mess it up. All you got to do is just take it all, throw it together, cook it up, you're good.
It's affordable, less than $10 per person per meal. And if you check out this week's menu, you'll get $30 off that first meal with free shipping because we hook you up at blueapron.com/beat. You will love how good it feels and it tastes to create those incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait. That's blueapron.com/beat. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Better way to cook. Happy anniversary, Blue Apron. That's what another reason why October is one of the great months.
Yeah.
It's, you know, my birthday's in there. Keeneland's running. Halloween is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Baseball playoffs. The NFL's in full swing. You know, college football usually has some good stuff going on. Fall, changing leaves, smells good outside.
Butch Jones with some great quotes.
What is that? What is that about?
I don't know. I thought he would like that about October.
No. You're just trying to throw something that's going to just like get my blood boiling a little bit. That's what you're trying to do.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Butch Jones might be fired in October. What's making you mad?
October.
See, I set you up.
Well, it's not October. It's what's happening in October. Sam Green, who you guys heard on the road trip BBP a week ago, sending me pictures of him going around town and seeing there's Christmas trees, there's Santas, there's candles, there's wreaths, there's lights. No. 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 That it drives me crazy. I am a holiday Christmas person. I love it. But not in November, not pre-Thanksgiving, definitely not Halloween or even early October.
It's ridiculous.
That drives me crazy. Oh my God!
Christmas
makes me angry
because it only happens a certain time of the year.
Yes,
you start. That's why Christmas would not be cool if it lasted 12 months.
No,
then it would just be life.
Yeah,
we can't have that.
No,
dude, I married into the craziest Christmas family. My wife. My mother-in-law are Christmas addicts. And I like Christmas. Who doesn't like Christmas?
Yeah.
Scrooge. I mean, I don't know. But, like, even we in this family of crazy, we got three trees. Like, there are rules for this stuff. Christmas starts after Thanksgiving, period. I won't hear any other arguments. So I'm with you on this one.
Yeah.
That should make you mad.
It is.
I haven't seen a whole lot of that, thankfully.
Yeah, well, you know. Thanks a lot, Sam.
You're killing us.
Ruined my October.
Killing us. You know what's making me happy?
What's that?
What's making me happy is that I can look back fondly on my Saturday afternoon at the Gorman Farm Sunflower Festival out in Reading because there was a good amount of time where I didn't think I was going to look back on it very fondly. You ever planned to just see something's going on and think you'll go to it and it'll be a nice casual thing. And then you show up and you're like, oh no, this is like a thing. This is a big thing.
Yeah.
Traffic all over to get into a farm. You never want traffic to get into a farm.
You don't want farm traffic.
Farm traffic? No, there shouldn't be that many people attempting to go to a farm. So to go into the farm, lots full all over the place. It was like going to a football game.
Yeah.
I never seen so many people. Everybody's got families, strollers. I mean, which is good because we're used to that, but kids, highly irritable when things don't go well.
Right.
Just so you know, if in case you don't have kids. And you go to get in, and everyone just wanted to pay their little $8.
Yeah.
No, lines forever. So many. It was a beautiful day Saturday, and all the rain was supposed to come on Sunday, so everybody went on Saturday. They were literally worried that there weren't going to be any sunflowers left come Sunday. They're all going to be cut down. So everyone go out there with their shears, cut them down. Huge, just fields as far as you can see of sunflowers. And they're like, they might be all gone on Sunday.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was great. Pumpkin patch. They had an alpaca. You're an alpaca guy, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. Roosters.
About a rooster.
Yeah, well, they were there. I'm just saying. You don't have to talk to them.
Yeah.
But they had that. They had the pumpkin patches, food trucks, all kinds of stuff. And it was ended up being a great time. But, man, when you roll up, you're thinking this is going to be dead. Maybe we just turn around right now. Just turn around right now. Right. So I'm happy that we were able to come back and enjoy that day.
Yeah.
All right. So
you know what else makes you happy?
What?
Me trying to talk to Gino.
Oh, it does make me happy. It really does make me happy. You're right.
Listeners love this stuff, too. I'm not afraid to make fun of myself. I got to try, though.
No, this is a good one. This is a good one. So, yeah. So
17 seconds of pure gold.
17 seconds. We should start running this every week. Can you start recording your attempt to talk to Gino every week?
I can try, yes.
Okay. So, this was at just after he wrecked game. After he wrecked the Bills on Sunday, your latest attempt at Gino speaks.
Inside and just kind of the pressure he had today and you guys up front. Nothing?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Thanks, Gino. Have a good break.
You got to try, right, AJ? I got to try.
Just a little bit? Just a little bit? Like that? Did you feel like that was going to put it over the edge if you just said, hey, just a little bit? And he'd be like, okay, a little bit.
Yeah. I was waiting for a doing my job, did my job, had a job. That made AJ Green's night.
I just post things.
You could maybe hear it there in a little background, AJ Green saying, no media for Gino. He was just, yeah. So AJ's yelling that. I'm yelling that. Meanwhile, Gino's over there like packing up free footballs and stuff. And his whatever was in his locker was hilarious. I got to try, though, you know?
You got to try. There are... It is a count of 52-1 of people that love you trying to get Gino interviews all the time.
Yeah, I don't think he appreciates it as much as the rest of us do.
I don't think he likes the gag as much as we do. Everybody else, all the players of the team definitely like it.
Yeah. makes the Bengals happy? Me wandering over to Gino's locker. Yeah.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Oh, all right. Good stuff. All right. So that'll wrap it up. We are going to be back next week with the BBP, with the bye week. No Deuce this week, but next week we'll be back. We'll have optimistic
Steelers
Bobby
week.
We'll have optimistic Bobby on the line. Steelers week, all kinds of stuff going on. So enjoy your time away this next weekend. Hey, Sunday, if you just want to go watch the games, go down to 50 West. They have the Sunday ticket. It's a great food going there all the time. You can get some Pizzelli's pizza. You can get whatever they got going on the grill. They've got tons of beers, lots of new beers. They're experimenting with all kinds of new stuff. So you can go down there and watch the games on Sunday if you want to do that. Great place to go and watch those. Otherwise, we'll be back. So keep checking back. And Cincinnati.com. We're not quitting. There'll be lots of content up there this week. So keep an eye out for that. And we'll talk to you later.